You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with members of the Coast Guard and their involvement in World War II. And right now we've been talking to Joe Boone, who served on LST 884. And we were just, before we took the break, he was telling us how a Japanese kamikaze pilot was heading directly at them. Joe, can you finish that up?
Sure. As I say, the first two planes coming in were shot down by perhaps other ships. We don't know yet that. But the third plane came right straight at us about 15 feet, 30 feet off the water. And about 50 to 75 yards out, we hit him, and he was on fire, but he kept coming. And he hit us broadside on the port side, just forward of the superstructure. And the plane had enough speed and force to it. The engine of it ended up going through two sleeping compartments and on into the tank deck. And he ignited all the fuel and ammunition that we had, and we had hundreds of tons of it on there. But it seemed to go off all at one time. And the deck underneath your feet, top side, was popping up everywhere. So finally, after about 10 minutes, the skipper decided that it's too dangerous for us to stay on, so we abandoned ship in the East China Sea. And our crew were being picked up by other ships, and so were the Marines. I think the total count on casualties was, the final count was 50 Marines, and we lost only one crew member, but a few of them were injured. And we abandoned the ship and were picked up by many other ships, and it took us about 4 to 6 weeks to get everybody back together to get back to Pearl Harbor for reassignment. And but it was a hectic time in the water. We had very shark-infested waters, and also we were concerned about enemy planes overhead coming down and scraping us. But we got back together again and got back to Pearl Harbor just about the time war ended, and then we took reassignments, and most of us went out on the east of the North Atlantic, and we were scattered all over the Pacific.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you very much for sharing that story with us. My addition, I guess, could be that my father was a chief motors mate. I don't know all of the ranks in the Coast Guard, but he was one of the ones that got knocked into the water with you, and he went back on board, I guess, to help some people to get off or to find out what they could do, and he was awarded the Bronze Star for that. And so I'm very proud of that, of course. And he also never told me, but another member of your crew I was talking to, when you were put into dry dock before you got back to Pearl Harbor, you had to watch out for the Japanese, I don't know what you call them, underwater demolition people that were coming out and attaching mines to the size of the ships.
Yeah, snipers.
Right.
The one man we lost was shot by snipers in the water, and they had a second one, and the first one died instantly. The second one shot through both arms, and we transported him back to the hospital, safe where he eventually ended up back in the States.
Wow.
And I have a lot of material on that, and as much as your dad's on that ship, I will send you a package.
I can hardly wait, John. I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio.
But thanks for having me.
I'm going to let you go right now. Ken, I wanted to talk to you just for a minute. You're still there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I wanted to thank, also, obviously, I wanted to thank our other guests, Scott and Chief Petty Officer Lanier, for being on Veterans Radio and talking to us about the Coast Guard. And there's so much more material out there. People, you really need to go and just Google in Coast Guard. You'll be amazed at what these men and women have done for the last 200 years. I want to thank both of you for being on Veterans Radio also.
My pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. We'll be talking to you again soon. There's another story here. We always run out of time as we go along, unfortunately. Ken, I wanted to just ask you a question about what it is that you're also doing to try and capture the history of not only the Coast Guard, but of also all, veterans from all eras down there. You're in Mountaintop, Tennessee, is that correct?
It's Mountain City, Tennessee.
Mountain City, that's close. Yeah. So tell me what you're doing, because this is something I was really interested in when we were talking the other day.
My feeling, I shouldn't say my feeling, because there's several of us that feel that way, but we feel that all veterans have a story to tell. Unfortunately, we're double parked, those of us in World War II, and a lot of those stories are going to leave with us. So we wanted to bring this out and leave it in the communities in which these people live, either where they live now or where they came from. So we came up with the idea of doing a Veterans Video Museum, a local Veterans Video Museum. What we do is we will interview the veterans on video and then ask them at the time to bring in any pictures or anything like that. And we take those pictures and we use period music behind it, and we add the pictures onto the end of the video, and pictures or documents or whatever. And the whole thing kind of makes a life story for that veteran. And we ask them, you know, to bring in their wives and our pictures of their wives and family and so forth now or at the time either. And the end result is about a 30-minute video, which pretty well documents the life of that veteran during World War II or whatever. We're going for World War II first, but we also are into Korea and Vietnam. We want to get every veteran, regardless of whether they serve in war or in peacetime.
Well, how are you funding this?
Well, so far it's been out of my left rear pocket, and that
we've been there.
that gets kind of thin. But the truth is that I'm a little bit familiar with handling video and making those things. The businesses that I was in, I used a lot of video for marketing, and consequently, I go from the video and make the DVD myself. And I have one person who works with me, but I also have the local American Legion, Veterans of Foreign War, and the Honor Guard backing us. Now, my costs are film and cassettes and DVDs and a lot of time.
A lot of time, because the information that you had sent me is that you do this twice a week.
Yeah, we do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I usually do four each time we do it, four each day. And we'll do the interview and the pictures and everything right there in order to complete the thing on that day, you know. And we've gone to our, we need a place to put this, so we have a local Veterans Video Museum in our public library. They set aside a room through some donations. We have television set up there that'll play the DVDs, and people can go into the library and they can check out by name or number. Each one of these are numbered. That DVD, take it back there and look at it if you want to. We also give a copy to the veteran, and we keep copies in the American Legion and VFW also.
I think this is a great endeavor that you've taken on. This is kind of taking the Veterans History Project and going another step with it in order to actually get the pictures of the people and get them talking and telling their stories. And then you kind of put it together, as you mentioned, by putting period music, as we played a little bit earlier about World War II, in there. And the idea of having it local so that people can go in and you know, watch the guy down the street, his story, is what I found interesting. And you also mentioned that you were attempting to, or you're going to try to be using some high school students as part of the video production.
We've done this in here in Mountain City and also in Itasca, Texas, where we have the other pilot program going. Itasca is using the students completely. And it moves slow when you're doing that. And consequently, a lot of the older veterans, oh, they didn't really want to sit there, but the kids were the ones that really benefited from it. We had a young boy who was 15 years old, and he did the complete documentary on a survivor of the Bataan Death March.
Wow.
And he completed it just before that person died. And I would say that of all the people we've done here, it's amazing how many stories have come out of this that never would have come out of anything. You can't name any part of those wars that we haven't had somebody touch it. I've even interviewed people who I didn't know at the time until now. They were riding the same operations I was in Saipan and Tinian, Leyte and Luzon and Okinawa.
That's absolutely true. You're amazed when you start talking to these people, find out where they were and so forth. Is there a place where people can go to find out more information on this from you?
I'm setting up a website now, and let me just throw the name out here. It's Veteran Ken.
Veteran Ken.
And that's .com, of course. That's the website. My email is veteranken@embark.mail, and Embark is spelled, at embarkmail.com. Embark is spelled E-M-B-A-R-Q, and M-A-I-L.com. I'm going to have to get a grant in order to carry this further. I'd like to have every community in the United States. Of course, they tell me if you set your bar high enough, you'll get closer to it, and if you set it too low, you won't go any higher than that. So,
we know all about that. We've set our bar pretty high, too, but I think it's something.
We appreciate all the help you can give us on this because, what I'd like to do is to get enough publicity out there. And my partner and I are willing to get with any community that wants to do this. And all we would require is that they pay our expenses to get in and show them how to get it going.
Well, we will be in touch with you, Ken, very much, and I want to thank you again for being on Veterans Radio, and we'll be talking to you again.
Well, thank you for having me on here.
Thanks, Ken.
Okay.
Well, there you go, Bob. We run out of time again.
Oh, good show. Good show.
That drives me.
That's a great show.
I need to follow up on a couple of things real quickly here. Number one, we're going to follow up on the helicopter that got shot out of the air last week. They did survive, but we'll tell the story on another program.
To be continued.
To be continued. Also, my friend, we got a number of emails thanking the gun pilots. We got one from a dust-off pilot, a couple of infantrymen thanking the gunships for protecting them as they were going along. I want to make sure that people are aware of that. I want to thank our sponsors today, Marine Scholars Fund, Quantum Physical Therapy, Legal Help for Veterans, Lynn Pitlack, CPA, Schrader Yachts, and a veteran-owned business, Sperry Van Ness, Lillian Associates, and Pat the Handyman. Next week on Veterans Radio, we are going to be looking at battlefield promises. People who have, in the fear and depth of horror, I guess, had promised God, you get me out of this, and I'm going to take care of you, too. We'll be right. We won't be back. You are dismissed. That's the end of Veterans Radio for this week.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of our guests and are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.